This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, Linda, let's continue with that thread there of the different legends and the combination of human and animal, where you've got a human torso on an animal's body.
Yeah. And as I said, there's so many of them. Even back to the Sumerians, you see them depicted in the sculptures in South America on the Mayan temples and probably civilizations we don't even know names of yet. So it's a universal thing. And I do think that I found some associations that I had in that book. I just want to mention this quickly. My most recent book that is out, The Monsters Among Us, I really set out to study some of these associations. And so every time I had a case where I had an accurate date, year at least, and a place, and had enough information, I would look up, I had a little chart at the end of each of those stories, and I would look up the phase of the moon, solar activity at the time, nearby UFO reports, anything where I could find a database on the internet and just look it up. And it did seem that things were related. I found more UFO associations than I would expect to. And I also found more of the solar flares seemed to make more difference than the phase of the moon. Now, I also was careful to note that one book is not a really representative sample. You know, that if you're going to do this scientifically, you'd have to have all the different things laid out as they would for a scientific experiment. But it just was something that I could say, hey, this is something anybody can do. All these things are on the internet. You can find them in 2 seconds and start your own database. You know, and maybe that way we'll learn something.
When it comes to the native legends, how far back do they go? In America here, I mean, we know a lot about the ancient East and Middle East, and even to some extent Europe. Of course, the legends there go back thousands of years, I imagine. How about the native lore here?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And in fact, people I've talked to, I was privileged to talk with a Ho-Chunk elder and anthropologist, and she told me that these creatures are older than humanity, and that they were here before people were, and they came originally, as I mentioned before, from the spirit world, and they still kind of do that back and forth. But you can also look to other things. You can find some very, very old, I'm thinking of Mayan, sculptures, ceramics that portray bird-headed people and dog-headed people. They go way back. And here in southeastern Wisconsin, I don't know how many people are aware of this, but we have a really, really special type of ancient Native American art called the animal effigy mounds. They're almost no place else in the world. And Wisconsin has, I think, 96%. There's the Great Serpent Mound in Ohio, and then there are a few overlaps into the surrounding states. But otherwise, they're all in southeastern Wisconsin. And what they are is sometimes very huge, low mounds with shapes delineated to show thunderbirds and the water panther, sometimes just regular animals, bears, what have you. I know there's one in Madison a bird one that's about 150 feet long. And they're simple, but they're not childish. They're very sophisticated symbolism. And when the settlers first came here and found this little part of Wisconsin, it was like a park because they had kept it all groomed around them. These things were laid out usually next to freshwater springs and lakes. They were oriented so that they would appear to be marching down into the water or if it was Thunderbirds versus the Water Panthers that were the two animals that were supposed to battle, they would be placed in opposition to one another. And they were huge. And you really cannot appreciate them, much like the Nazca lines in Peru, unless you're up in the air. So why were these things here? But the one creature called the Water Panther or the Water Spirit, I was told, was the closest to these upright canines. So, and it seemed to be a mixture. It had the panther name because of the long tail, but it had the dog head and could walk upright, according to what I was told.
That's really fascinating. I'm seeing a lot of connections here between various things, and I just love this conversation. We're seeing some real parallels with ufology here in that we've also got imagery that reminds us of alien craft that go back as far. It's almost as if the two phenomena are connected somehow. And so I'm looking for more of these connections here. We've talked with Bigfoot researchers who say that there have been direct connections with UFOs and Bigfoot. How about other kinds of creatures? Or have you heard the same kind of stories? Can you give us any indication of if there's an alien cryptid connection?
Well, one that leaps to mind is a real well-known one in Wisconsin because it happened to this farmer named Bozak, kind of up in, I think, north central Wisconsin. I can't think of the name of the town. And he was driving home. It wasn't an ancient story, but he was driving home from a farm co-op meeting and saw this thing on the road. He wasn't that far from his house, but it was on the road between him and his house, and he got closer. And it was sort of a weird-looking furry creature that was sitting inside of a strange contraption that was kind of like a shiny disc type of thing. And he said the creature had a long face. It had its hands up. He felt it was almost asking for help, but he didn't know what to do for it, and described it really well. I have it in my Monsters of Wisconsin book. And his name was Fred Bozak, and the name will come to me probably in about an hour, the name of the town that he was in. But he was astounded at it and found marks in the field the next day where it had been. And the craft and the creature were gone by the next day, of course. But the creature itself, this is what fascinates me, wasn't readily identifiable as any one Earth species. It was just something that was fur-covered, had the long face, as I said, seemed that it was calling, and big eyes, and seemed that it was calling for help. So, you know, what do you do with that?
Very good question. what did he do with it? I mean, did the thing just sort of disappear or vanish, or how did he handle that situation?
Yeah, it did. And actually, I should look that up. I have my Monsters of Wisconsin book right in front of me, and I should have looked that up before. He did, and if you just... Excuse me for a second here.
Oh, no problem. You've got a wonderful selection of books, and I've got to add a few of those to my own library.
Let's see. Phantom Bigfoot. Actually, I have several Bigfoot things in this particular book, which I think is going out of print, unfortunately. I'm just dealing with them right now. Let's see. Well, anyway, it did actually. Oh, it was the furry alien of Frederick is this story. Frederick was the name of the town. I think I might have misspoken and said that was the name of the man. But it was 10:30 p.m. This was written up in the St. Paul Pioneer Press, by the way. And he was only going about 35 miles an hour. It was 6 miles east of Frederick in Polk County, Wisconsin. And this is, it's marshes, kind of rural territory, not very highly populated. And he said he was almost home when his headlights suddenly hit something bright and shiny sitting smack in the center of the westbound lane. So he slowed down to see what it was gleaming. There was like a fog that had just begun to set in. I'm thinking again the odds factor with that. It was a vehicle of sorts, disc-shaped, had a transparent top made of what looked like curved glass, and inside was a creature looking back at him.
Let's do our break here. We have a cliffhanger. Who or what was that creature in the landed UFO? No, I don't want to make those sounds. It sounds really cliched. We've got Linda Godfrey, Jay Randall, Murphy, and Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Marijuana has unleashed a green gold rush across our nation. It's creating $10.8 billion in new wealth a year. And every day, it's transforming more and more Americans into millionaires. In an historic event, former Speaker of the House John Boehner reveals how you could become one of them. Join him online for the American Cannabis Summit. Attendance is 100% free, but space is limited. To secure your spot, text JOIN to 76280. This event is the first of its kind ever. John Boehner and an esteemed panel will reveal which cannabis stocks are primed to deliver life-changing windfalls in the weeks and months ahead. Plus, they will show you how to become a cannabis angel investor, backing the hottest startups before they potentially become worth billions of dollars. To join American Cannabis Summit, text JOIN to 76280. Attendance is free. Text JOIN to 76280. Text JOIN to 76280.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll-free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Hey everyone, Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the three-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now, 1-800-583-8662, or go to proactive.com. And enter promo code radio. You heard right. Proactive MD plus free shipping and a free gift. The new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95 and their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now. 1-800-583-8662. That's 1-800-583-8662. Or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. Again, go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
I can't tell you, Linda Godfrey, how I'd react running up against something like that in the road. So we have the craft with the, what, transparent top where they see the entity inside?
Right. And he said he could see the being from about the torso up, It was covered in tan fur except for its face, which was bare. It stood with its arms inexplicably stretched upward and was humanoid in shape. And its face was square with long, a long part on it, big buggy eyes, long ears that stuck out horizontally from near the top of its head. And he thought it stood a little taller than a tall man. It also seemed afraid. And by the time he had drawn his vehicle to a position only 6 feet away, that's really close to get close to a UFO, he stepped on the gas and noticed a whooshing sound as his car passed through the strange vehicle's shadow. And it was too foggy. It sort of disappeared in the fog, and he didn't want to, he got past it and didn't want to return in the dark. And then came back the next day, and it was just gone.
When you mentioned the hairy nature, I was thinking of Wookiees, but that's just me.
It would have been fun, but it doesn't really look like a Wookiee. And I've drawn two kind of forensic sketches of it. I don't think I have it in this book, but it's hard to even really settle on what it looked like because it's not like our pictures of the Greys with those flat ears. It's more like Yoda is what
Yeah, like a cross between Chewbacca and Yoda or something.
Exactly. Really,
yeah, very interesting. I absolutely love these stories. You've got other ones about aquatic creatures. They're not your typical Nessie, you know, lake monster type of thing. They're more like some sort of prehistoric alligator or something like that. Can you tell us about a couple of those?
Well, I think you may be referring to the story in the American Monsters book about a young man who was studying to be a marine biologist and was working summer jobs on the St. John River in Florida. He began noticing something following his book. It's kind of his boat. It was kind of like Captain Hook and Peter Pan, you know, following him around. And he finally started seeing it get out of the water. And he said it did look like a prehistoric type of alligator. It would stand straight upright on the shore and watch him and follow him. At one time, it even he had a friend on board with him, and they were spending the night out. And it was kind of bumping the boat, and he was actually afraid it was going to try and crawl up into the boat with him. And I checked this guy out. I called where he said he was supposed to work and take classes, and he did. He was, you know, and that is something when I'm able, I try to do my due diligence in checking out people who have extraordinary claims and just, because I have found, I don't have very many people that I think are generally trying to hoax me, but those who do don't usually think of all the details, or they'll get something really, really wrong. And again, the advantage of doing this in the internet age is you can look just about anything up about anybody if you know where to look. So that is something that I try to do for my readers.
So you take these stories pretty seriously then, not just as urban legend. You actually believe that people are having experiences where they perceive through their senses some sort of strange phenomena that involves these cryptids that to them seem to be perfectly real physical things, not just a product of their imagination or a hallucination or a misidentification.
Yeah, that's how it seems to me with most people. Now, I'm sure there are misidentifications, and I'm sure there are people who have some mental illness and are hallucinating, but they seem to be in the very, very minority. And people who say, well, it's a mass hallucination if there's more than one, because often there are two, three, or four other witnesses. And the thing is, what I've read, again, I'm no psychologist, but what I've read is that the concept of mass hallucination, especially when it's not a drug party, just four people riding along in a car and they all see a green alien walking alongside the road hitchhiking and they all slam their door locks on at the same time, that a mass hallucination as we normally think of it does not exist.
No, that sounds to me like a very convenient sort of psychological buzz term for the skeptics to me. Even people who are on hallucinogenics and even the same kind of hallucinogenics in the same room with each other don't have the same hallucination as each other.
Right.
So it seems really very, very highly questionable that people who are in a frame of mind that is unimpaired would all suddenly simply have exactly the same sort of hallucination.
Right. Especially when it's not part of the conversation or, you know, they're on their way from point A to point B and then all of a sudden this thing shows up. That example of the people slamming the car locks on because they see a little green thing was another report that I received, actually. Four young women in college coming back at night from visiting a friend of theirs in the hospital.
Very interesting. Have you had an experience yourself? Have you ever seen any of these creatures?
I have. The first one was when I was in Michigan with a History Channel cameraman, and we were investigating a late night happening that had occurred, maybe a month or two before. And there were these three people who had come out to investigate this lonely road because it had a reputation for being haunted, not for big animals. So if anything, they were primed to look for ghosts. And instead, they came up upon this abandoned old schoolhouse or something like that. And behind their car was a 7-foot-tall gray wolf-like creature on its hind legs. And it actually chased them. Being young, they were young and foolish, and they tried after a week or so, and they came back another time, and the same thing happened, but with a shorter, darker furred upright canine. And we were there at the same time. It was like 2 or 3 in the morning. It was almost raining. It was like 99% humidity, 99 degrees. I don't know how anybody could have been out there in a fur suit, but we were seeing, you know, green eye shine from the bushes and heard something very large shake water out of its fur. And we had a spotlight up, and I happened to turn just in time to see something run just at the edge of the light of the spotlight. And what I saw was gray fur on something vertical, a vertical spine of some kind. And it was covered with gray fur, and it momentarily blotted out a road sign, a reflective road sign, and kept going. And by the time we had the nerve to go over there and measure it, we did measure it. It was 7 feet tall in order to block out what it blocked out. And it had gray fur, but I only saw the spine. So I can say I may have seen the spine of a dog man. I can't really say it any more soundly than that.
I'll tell you what, let's do our break here. We've got Linda Godfrey, who's written a dozen and a half books or so about monsters. You know, I can't resist doing that when we have the monster thing. But we do have Linda and Jean and Randall, which means you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Trump is proposing a new deal to Democrats aimed at getting Congress to pay for a wall along the border with Mexico. He says he's willing to compromise on many points.
DACA, TPS, and many other things. Straightforward, fair, reasonable.
He says the plan is needed to reduce crime.
Criminals, drug smugglers, gangs, and traffickers do not stop at our border. They permeate throughout our country, and they end up in some places where you'd least expect them.
Representative Vicente Gonzalez, a Texas Democrat, says many of the things the president stated are wrong.
If you look at FBI statistics, McAllen's the seventh safest city in America. We have zero murders in the year of 2018. We're one of the safest communities in the state and the country, so it's just factually wrong, statistically wrong.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
This is an urgent health notice for all residents suffering from back, neck, knee, and wrist pain. You may qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you, but the deadline is fast approaching. Simply call the Health Alert Hotline now.
You heard right. You may qualify for a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace. These items may even be covered by Medicare or your private insurance. The Health Alert Hotline is your brace company. These specialized braces have been tested for pain relief. Call us toll-free right now to determine your eligibility and to learn how to use your private insurance or Medicare to minimize your out-of-pocket cost. Don't wait. If the deadline passes, you may lose your opportunity to get a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace at little or no cost to you.
800-296-1261. 800-296-1261. 800-296-1261. That's 800-296-1261.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, Linda Godfrey may have seen the spine of a dog man. Tell us more.
Well, I say may because I didn't see the whole thing. All I saw was the spine of something that was running upright across this little asphalt road, and the spotlight caught it, the fur on its back for just a moment, and the fur was gray, and the spine was vertical. It ran across the road. It momentarily blotted out a reflective road sign on the other side of the road, and when we measured it later, it would have had to have been 7 feet tall in order to blot that out. I was ruling out, I can't totally rule out a human in a fursuit, except it was really a warm, warm night. It was like in the 90s. It was fixing to rain, so it was very, very humid. I can't imagine any human running around in a fursuit without expiring. Because we saw the thing, we were seeing yellow eyes shining in the bushes, and there was a nearby, somewhat abandoned building. It wasn't used very much, an old schoolhouse, I think. And there were motion detectors going on and off over by it, all that sort of thing. And one of the witnesses that had brought us to that place in the first place also saw it. I wasn't the only one. Of course, as always happens, the History Channel cameraman we were there with had turned the other direction. And by the time we got him to turn around, of course, it had gone somewhere else, you know, wasn't there to be seen anymore. But the weird thing, even weirder that night, was that the witnesses then became really antsy. They wanted to leave. They got frightened all over again. And so we all piled into the van. Well, they actually piled into their own car. The History Channel cameraman and I were in the van. And sometime, you know, within the past 2 hours, my camera that I had, it was a nice Nikon camera, ran out of battery, and so I had set it on the front seat, and we were out really in the middle of nowhere in Michigan, deep in Michigan forest ranges, There was nothing but this little, actually it was a gravel road, not even an asphalt. And no one around, there were no houses, no habitations or anything. But my camera was gone. And it had been in that car with the door closed. The witnesses were right there with us the whole time. If anybody had opened that door, I would have heard it because I was standing there. And the night was very still. You know, there was no wind. It was one of those times when you hear any little noise. And the camera was simply gone. And all of us combed the ditches, you know, up and down the road, thinking there's a dog, you know, at close range any time. It wasn't easy to comb those ditches, but we did. We looked everywhere. It was nowhere to be seen, you know. So I jokingly said the dog man stole my camera because I had really recorded a lot of good footprints and things like that that we had found around the property. We'd been there basically all day and then all evening. And so the History Channel was actually nice enough to buy me a new camera to replace that old one because there was just no one had any explanation for that. And it wasn't one of these little teeny ones, you know. It was a good-sized camera. That was like the year probably 2006 when that happened. Good cameras were still kind of clunky at that time. So that is my possible dog man story.
That's really interesting. And it almost spooks me more than the idea of just your run-of-the-mill Bigfoot. You know, because strange, large, dog-like creatures, you know, sneaking around the city is one, you know, a whole different than being, you know, say, out in the middle of the country. You're kind of expecting wild things to be out there.
But we're out in the middle of the country. I mean, this was way, way out.
Oh, okay. For some reason, I was in, when you said road sign and light, I kind of assumed there was a street and a light and a road sign and so, or something like that.
No, there was no light other than the spotlight that we had put up in the middle of the road so that if something ran across there, we would have some hope of seeing it. And it was just a little reflective sign indicating a curve in the road coming down that we had over on the side there. So it wasn't any big deal. And the building was just, I think it was a former one-room schoolhouse, so it wasn't anything big. And someone had purchased it and was slowly remodeling it, but they weren't there at the time. And the rest of it was just like forest preserve. There weren't any houses or anything else around at all. So,
okay. Now here I was envisioning this and be, you know, something, you know, maybe out in the suburbs somewhere, but this would, okay. That is more mysterious then because who would be out there then?
Exactly.
To be able to pilfer your camera.
Right. Exactly. And the only other thing we saw at all indicating life was this, whatever it was upright. It had gray fur, not long and shaggy, but just kind of like a German Shepherd's fur, something like that, and went across the road really fast. I mean, it was just, I saw it, it was across the road, in just an instant saw it, the sign blot out momentarily, and that was when the witnesses got really, really spooked. Plus it was, you know, in the distance somewhere, it was thunder and lightning because it was, there was a storm coming in, you know, and we were just kind of on the cusps of one of those really warm type of storms. So
that makes it even more spooky.
It does. It does. Plus the fact that motion detector lights would occasionally go on and off. And at one point, somewhere really not very far away from me in the bushes alongside the road, you know when your dog gets wet, swims in the lake, maybe they're all wet and then they shake their fur, that sound of the fur shaking out? It's unmistakable. And something very large with a lot of fur did that, shook itself out. It was, I don't know where it would have rolled in some water somewhere, but it was shaking its fur out very, very close. Now, and that's something I don't think a human could imitate that sound, no matter what kind of costume they had on or how they moved. But I still say possible sighting because, I keep repeating, all I saw was this vertical spine.
Very interesting. How about other experiences? Is that your only one, or have you seen something else?
No, I've had some experiences with Bigfoot. I had to wait quite a while, and I always thought, see, that was back in 2006, you know, and then for a long time I saw nothing unusual. I would always be there the day after or, you know, 2 weeks after or just before, and it was so frustrating because, you know, I really wanted to see one, And then when I did, that was about like 2014, 2015. It was so ironic, I thought, because I was seeing and having experiences with what were obviously Bigfoot, and why wouldn't I get to see the Dogman instead? You know, it was just, but the thing was, I was placing myself in an area where there were lots of Bigfoot sightings in a part of southeastern Wisconsin near the Kettle Moraine State Forest. And that was interesting because I had kept tabs on that from the very beginning back in 91, 92. I started getting reports of Bigfoot all around that area. And there were Dogman sightings too, but they were sort of just outside the park range. And what divides that park from the park and from the adjacent farmland and stuff is that it goes sort of abruptly from these pine and oak forests into what once was prairie land, and now a lot of it is farmland too. So it's either prairie or farmland. And I realized kind of early on that I could sort of just draw a line between where the Bigfoot sightings were occurring and the Dogman sightings. And it was like each one of them liked this other type. The Bigfoots liked the forested area because it was also multi-elevated. In other words, this was where the glacier had come through and stopped. And when it stopped, it like carved out all these deep kettle-shaped ravines, which is why it's called the Kettle Moraine. And so something could jump down into one of these kettles and be hidden very well, which suits how the Bigfoot are said to operate. But it's not such a great place for something that's a four-legged, you know, quadruped. They would have to run down and or even if it's on 2 feet, it would be difficult.
Let's do our break here.
Okay.
We've got more to come. Linda Godfrey on Monsters with Jean and Randall. And Linda, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
You may need this herbal tea for relief right away, so write this down, drmillersclinic.com. If you take meds, then suffer stomach distress, constipation, indigestion, acid reflux, and bloating, and nothing else helps, get Dr. Miller's Holy Tea or Super Holy Tea, a cleansing, detoxifying herbal tea now available at great rates direct from Dr. Miller's office. Call or click 888-660-7039 or drmillersclinic.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Know someone with a drinking or drug problem? Learn how to get sober after we share these stories.
I was 35 with two beautiful children when my life and addiction started to spiral out of control. After my divorce, I went into a depression cycle and started drinking more often and using prescription drugs. After my second DWI and arrest, my ex-husband threatened to take our children away from me.
I was 17 when I became addicted to heroin and meth. I thought I could quit on my own, but I couldn't. It hit me when I was arrested.
Get sober now. Your private insurance may cover costs, and we'll get you here. It's simple. Just call Elite Rehab Placement right now. Please, don't wait. Your life matters to us.
800-213-9264, 800-213-9264, 800-213-9264. Call right now before it's too late. 800-213-9264.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Wendy Godfrey, continue, please, telling us about the monsters among us.
Sure. So I was just explaining what the Kettle Moraine State Park was, and there it's quite large, actually. It runs from near the mid-counties of that I have southern borders with Illinois, all the way northwest of Milwaukee, so there's quite a bit of space there. So anyway, my family and I lived in a home literally on the edge of that state forest. In fact, our backyard was bounded on two sides by very steep drop-offs into a large kettle system, and then you could get around to the main state park from there. And it was right at the very tippy-top edge of where the glacier would have stopped. And all the soil was very pebbly. I want to mention, going down into these kettles, I've slid down on the back of my jeans more than once because these pebbles make the soil very, very slippery. And again, it's just another thing that sort of repels humans and other upright things other than Bigfoot, which is, again, perfectly suited. So my first actual encounter, I call it that because I didn't personally get to see the creature, although somebody else did, was a complete surprise to me. I wasn't prepared for it. I wasn't out. And I spent a fair amount of time. I love to go out hiking in forests and go to places where people have seen things. So it wasn't that I hadn't been out before or wasn't, you know, up on my Bigfoot lore, but it was early in the evening. It was probably around 7 p.m. in August, so it was stayed light very long. And the neighborhood I lived in, a lot of the houses were just weekenders, and people had already left. It was Sunday. People had already left for the evening. And so, and the lots were large sizes. So I was thinking there weren't many people around, and wouldn't it be kind of fun if I just picked up a branch and kind of banged a tree a couple of times with it? And I don't know why I even thought that. I did see some trees that were bent together in a strange way. They were saplings that were bent over and almost tied to form like a rainbow thing. And that was new. This was a trail that I often took when I walked. I didn't, and it was just spur of the moment. I just literally walked out of my house, went to that place, and started walking around. I did not bring my camera or phone or anything like that. But I had that idea that I would just try hitting a tree a couple of times and just see if I heard anything. So I did. There was a place where I could walk in off of that trail about 10 feet, and there was a nice kind of semi-hollow tree, and I picked up a branch that was just lying there. Then I hit it one or two or three times and thought, that's big deal, nothing's happening. I hit it one more time, just kind of gave it my all. So I thought I'll try it once more, and lo and behold, something hit a tree back, and this was not far away. This was maybe a couple hundred feet. I was standing on the edge of one side of one of these kettles, and whatever it was, because I could see the tree shake a little bit, was just on the other side of the kettle growing up from near the bottom of it. It was a very large oak tree and had lots of leaves on it. It wasn't like an old, dead, falling apart thing. So, in fact, there were so many leaves, I could not see whatever made that sound up there. And I was really startled, and yet I thought, well, it's just a fluke. You know, maybe something echoed. And I hit the tree again, and I got another knockback. And I was starting to get nervous, and I was thinking to myself, whatever is up there is holding a branch or something like a branch, and that means it has an opposable thumb. And that means it's either a human or a Bigfoot, because I couldn't think of any other, you know, there shouldn't be any great apes walking around there. They don't exactly have the same type of hand we have anyway, although they can grasp things. So I thought, I'm going to make it show itself to me, and then I'll run. I wasn't thinking totally logically at the time, and trust, I had not been drinking or taking anything like that. I should have. But I was just so fascinated with it, and I was so determined to see what it was, and just taking the chance that I could get back off the trail and get out of there. So the last time I hit it, it returned not a knock, but a great giant cracking, ripping sound. Kind of like if you've ever been in an ice storm and heard a tree branch go down, that was what it was like. And to my shock, I saw that that big branch that I had been looking at that was covered with leaves was twisted. It was ripped partly off and twisted. I was sort of panicked, and I didn't know what to do. I really didn't. But I just hit the tree again one more time. I thought, I'll hit the tree, catch it, kind of think I'm still there, and then I'll run real quick. Well, this time, when I did my knocking, something tore the tree. There was another, like, ripping sound, and somebody tore the tree right off. This, and the branch, I measured it later. This was not, like, a little tiny branch. It was 35 feet long, about 8 inches in diameter. And I could see that it was new wood when it came off. It was white new wood, and dropped it, like, 30, 40 feet down into this kettle below. Ripped it clean off of that tree. And that's when I ran home. I didn't even think about it at that point because I couldn't imagine what else it would have been. Well, I got home. My husband was out of town somewhere. And I'm sitting there huffing and puffing and thinking about it. And it dawned on me, there are woodpeckers in that woods. And I was thinking, well, maybe I didn't see it, even though woodpeckers that are in that woods are only seen usually on very dead trees, and this is not a dead tree. Maybe it was woodpeckers. Maybe for some weird reason, someone had gone down into that kettle, crawled up the tree, and decided to saw off a branch with a handsaw, although I don't know for the life of me why anyone would have. And I wanted to go back and just see if there was anything there, but I wasn't going by myself. So I called a friend whose 20-year-old daughter was not into Bigfoot at all, didn't even really know what they were, met me right away. They lived like five minutes away. And they drove over real quick, and they were brave enough to go back down in there with me, and we measured it. And then I also found that near what would have been the crotch of the tree where it would have been having to stand, there was on either side of the trunk, kind of opposed, but one farther down than the other. You know how if you were leaning over and trying to grab something with your hands and turn it, you would have to have one hand in front and one behind. There were two handprints like that. That we could see the shiny wood, and then we could also see that there were pieces of bark in that shape that had fallen off. And I picked up one and took it with me. I still have that. And then we got a little spooked after that. We started smelling this odor that was really hard to describe. It was somewhat skunkish, but also kind of like smoky sweet grass at the same time. Like field grass is what I'm talking about, if you've ever been by a field where there was a little grass fire. But yet this kind of almost hormonal odor. It was really weird. So we went up to the top of the thing, and we were looking for her daughter was just standing there, had never gone down into anything, just kind of looking around. And all of a sudden, she screamed while we were just reaching the top, and she said, "I saw it." She said, "I saw it." Went over there, and she was pointing to another kettle where some bushes got really denser, and it could have gone from there to another kettle. And she was freaking out. At that point, wherever it was, it growled at us. And the growl was so loud and long that all of us, you could just feel the hair standing up on our necks. And I said, well, I think that's our cue to leave. And so we got out of there. And you can see pictures of it. If you go to my website, which is just lindagodfrey.com, there's no W's or anything. And then on the search box at the top right, put in Bigfoot Branch. You can see the photos I took of the branch, and you can see that it's brand new wood. You can see the pictures of those bark hand pulls, whatever you would want to call them, and probably more thorough accounting of exactly what happened, although that's pretty much it. But from that time on, I had never really experienced anything that I thought was like an encounter. But that night I was in my office, which happened to be adjacent to a deck, maybe 10 feet from down into that next kettle. And something started throwing little bits of bark and sticks and pebbles at my office window while I was sitting in there. We had things happen after that, which led up to my actually seeing one of them. It wasn't the same color. The one that my friend's daughter saw was what she described as like gray tan, that some people would call a blonde Bigfoot. And I had previous reports of that in that Kettle Moraine forest, but she didn't know that. And then I happened to see at three different times during the year 2015 what I believe was the same creature in kind of adjacent areas doing different things, all in daytime when I had a really good look at it and couldn't mistake it for anything else. And I didn't tell anybody about that like for a couple of years because it's just too convenient, you know, and I know how it sounds like, oh, well, she's just saying she saw something. But I'll tell you, if I was going to say that I saw something, it would have been the Dog Man, because it would be, if I was looking for just a convenient story, it would have been a lot more germane to my main work.
We've got more to come with Linda Godfrey. Her personal experiences and more with Gene Randall and Linda. You're in
the Paracast.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got like, I guess, 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.